Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
And one of the things that God desires for His children, His beautiful sheep, is to know His voice so that we can stand strong in any situation, in any season, in any storm. To the point when, if something happens in your house, let's say... The one I'm thinking of, so this must be him, is when Edgar fell down the stairs before they went to a service, and you know, I think he, did he break a rib? I don't even remember, but I know he was bruised up. And the Lord, and Holly checked in and said, Lord, what do you say? He's fine. We have to learn to look to the Spirit of God and ask what's going on instead of what we see in the natural. Because what we see in the natural is not the dominating force here. God's glory realm, God's way, the walk of the Spirit is detrimental to your health and your well-being. And some of us have chosen by default to ignore the development of our spiritual muscles. Are you recording this by chance? I feel like this might just be a preach. I'm not sure. But someone's going to say, did you record? I'll be like, I don't know. So we did. We are. Okay. So here's the thing. We're in the laboratory. God has set it up. We're like little dishes in His hand. And He is growing us. He's growing us up in Him, in the fullness of Him. And some of us will react and say, I don't want any part of that. Or I want some of it, but not all of it. Or some of us are going to say, well, I like this behavior, and I like when this happens, but I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going to challenge you tonight. I'm going to ask you this question, and don't answer it unless you can answer it from your heart, not your head. This is a pondering question. Is the Lord of all things? Is He the Lord of all things in your life? Have you fully succumbed to whatever He wants you to do? Have you died to your old ways? To your old lifestyle. See, when you were born again, when you said yes to Jesus, when you heard the gospel message, which is packed with powerful truth and every blessing that you could ever need or want, when you said yes, that positioned you into the kingdom of light. You got translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and now you are created for His fellowship and intimacy. Now, meanwhile, we battle the flesh. The old ways of we used to do things. Let's say every day you get up on the right side of the bed and get out. You're used to doing things that way. But if the Lord said to you, get up on the left side of the bed, would you do it? Or would you argue with Him? Or will you ignore what He just told you to do? Prime example, I'm driving here. I'm craving a cup of coffee, a good hot cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, I'm going to stop and get one at the Starbucks. And the Lord says, don't get a cup of coffee. Okay. Now, did it automatically be okay? No, I was rebellious, and I struggled with trusting what God says, and can He be trustworthy? But see, it's in these small things. Listen to me. It's in these small things that we are challenged with what's in our heart and our relationship in Him. Do we know that He has every good thing for us? Do you really believe that? Now, you don't have to answer it. Some of you will be like, well, I do believe it, but it's for everybody else. It's not for me. Or I do believe it, but I don't know how to walk it out. It does not matter what your thought process is on this. My question to you right now is, do you believe God is good? And that He always has the best interest for His children? See, we have to come to grips with that. That's how trust is developed. And so then we exercise our trust through these small trials of, I feel like having coffee today. Don't have it. Okay. Now, my old days, I'd be like, but why? And then He would tell me, because you haven't drank enough water. He knows best. Now, every one of us has the ability to have a relationship where there is dialogue going back and forth with Holy Spirit and yourself. That's available for everyone. It's not for anybody special. It's for any blood-washed believer, anybody who said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe I'm redeemed by the cross or through the cross. I believe there's blessings, all kinds of blessings. We have to start walking in our inheritance, but we can't walk in our inheritance without exercising. See, we can hear it in the Word, but there's going to come a day when the Word becomes alive in a situation. Now, what I mean about that, I'm using this analogy, which is very simple, because that's where we're at tonight. The analogy is, we have to start listening and obeying to the still small voice. God sent us the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Comforter. He leads and guides us into all truth. He only has our best interest. And meanwhile, the enemy is like, he's a liar, God can't be trusted, you know, crazy stuff. You're not worthy to have fellowship with the Lord. I know the sins you committed. You know what? Let me tell you something. God has wrapped himself in love. He's wrapped himself in love. And the way he relates to his children is, come to me. Those who seek me will find me. Those who seek me with their whole heart. There's a lot of half-hearted Christians in the body of Christ. Now, it makes sense that there is, because we come from a fallen world. But when we get translated out of the kingdom of darkness, we have a new inheritance. We have the fullness of God. So we have to renew our mind through the washing of the Word. We have to start reading the Word. We have to start meditating on the Scriptures. They are life. We cannot get it secondhand from a sermon, from our best friend, from our spouse, from our Bible teacher. We have to have a living relationship with the living Word of God. It is so powerful. That's why there's so much trouble with people following the Word or listening to the Word or finding time to find the Word, because the enemy does not want you to get truth. And he knows how, is this a word? Unregenerated? Is that the word? Our minds are. We have to come against, we have to swim against the currents of the crisis of the day, the chaos of the day, the waste of the day. We have to swim into the Word of God. We have to sink our anchor into Jesus Christ. We're in a season. You know, everyone's 2020, 20 vision. Friends, I wish it was that simple. I love 2020 vision. I love the prophecy about 2020 vision. I love the hope. But friends, we have to be anchored in the power of His Word. We have to show up on our watch. We can't let somebody else take our watch any longer. It's affecting the body of Christ. I got the Holy Ghost all over me. I'm like, chills inside me right now. Not bad chills, good chills. I can feel, you know, this has been burning in my belly for days. And I'm concerned for the flock. I'm concerned for the great flock. I'm concerned for my friends in here. I'm contending in prayer for your deliverance. I'm contending in prayer for your breakthrough. But you have to show up. It's easy. Now, this is not a message of condemnation. I'm not into that. If you know my heart, you know I'm not into that. I believe in God's grace. I believe in His mercy. I call on it every day. I can't do anything without His help. But we have to come to the point where we realize we can't do anything without His help. In our strength is no good thing. Nothing. And some of us have great strength in the earth, but I'm telling you, that's going to crumble. We're at a place in history. We're at a place in history where we have to deal with the hidden sins in our heart. Don't look at your neighbor. It's easy to look at your neighbor, isn't it? We all know our neighbor's sins, don't we? We have to stop judging What you reap, what you sow, you reap. We need to sow mercy and kindness and love and a standard of measure that can't sway when the winds blow. I know some of you are struggling. I understand. I know what struggle is like. I choose not to participate in it anymore. I found a better way. I'm not making this up. There's a place in God where you can be so anchored when the winds blow and the storms come, you're not affected. What are you saying, God? Just like when Edgar fell down the stairs. What are you saying, God? Just like when I got called in front of the elder board. What are you saying, Holy Spirit? What are you saying? I can't tell you how many times I said, what are you saying? What are you saying? And I listen for what he says. And if he doesn't say anything, I don't say anything. We have to stop operating out of our flesh. We have to make the transition into the walk of the Spirit. And how do we do that? Well, some of you are like, I don't know what she's talking about. Come more often. I teach it every week. Buy the CDs. Download the free MP3s. We want to help you walk in the fullness of God. But you got to show up. You got to start contending for your deliverance. You got to start wanting the greater things of God. He laid it all out for all of us to have, but he's not going to shove it down our throats. And some of you are expecting your blessing to be dropped in through the sky. I remember being in that, you know, phase of growth. But we continue to grow in God, and he continues to correct our false doctrine or the way we think things should be. God has given us so much, and some of us are waiting for him to give us something. He already did. You have to activate it through faith. You have to pick up the word and speak it and release it. There is no other way. You can hope, you can cry, you can wish, but unless you reach out for truth, you won't have truth. Now, I understand struggle. I came from addiction. I know those demons. I walked in great fear for many years. I know that. Spirit. I'm very familiar with the demonic realms. I'm an open seer. I spent many years being trained by the Holy Ghost. I don't talk about this that often. I've been trained to use discernment. We all have a measure of discernment. We all have a measure of discernment. How do you increase measure? Practice of use. The Bible's very clear on that. Some of us are afraid to deal with the evil that's around us. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't deal with it, it's just going to grow. It's a cancer. You have to cut it out. You have to cut the cancer out. Cover it up. It's not there. That will do nothing but fester the wound and slow your growth down in God. Is this too tough? No. You know, I love the Lord with everything I have. I truly love him and I reverence him. I'm not even worthy. I'm telling you the truth, and I don't say this in some weird false pride humility thing. I'm not even worthy to do anything for him except for worship him. And even that I fail at miserably if I measure against any standard. But what I measure against is the love, his love, and that's it. He loves me. That's good enough. We have to stop trying to measure up against our neighbors, against so-and-so, our spouse. We are all unique. We're all gifted in different ways. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, one's the elbow, one's, you know, the neck, blah, 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 blah. It's true. You know, I don't care if I'm the hangnail. It's a purpose, and the purpose is an irritation. You ever have an irritation? I'm the hangnail tonight. In the body of Christ. I'm poking at you. Because you got festering going on. And God wants to heal and restore you. He does it in love and kindness. But sometimes we can't hear. Because we're lulled by the earth. And the comforts of the earth. you know, if you got a good bank account, if you got a warm house, if you got a, you know, a spouse or don't have a spouse, whatever it is, we think, oh, things are pretty good. They are good when you measure it in the earth. But let me tell you something. Don't you want God's best? He's calling us higher. But we don't just get to go, okay, I want to go higher. That means put the boots on. And it means get the journal out. What are we working on now, Holy Spirit? He's the pilot. The Holy Spirit, if we would learn this one thing, what are you saying to me today? What do you want me to do? Why am I reacting like that? What's my issue? Why am I so bothered by this? We start asking him those questions instead of Google, instead of our spouse. He knows all things. And then he says, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you something. That's bothering you because you're an intercessor. And I want you to pray this through. You feel my heart on it, but I want you to pray it through. I want change. Or I'm glad you asked. You got an attitude. You're judging. And you're going to reap what you sow. So come out from among that. Oh, I'm so sorry. And then you repent. Oh, Lord, I didn't know I was judging. But thank you, because I believe you. But if you go, well, Lord, I don't know. I don't think I'm judging. I think you're wrong. It happens all the time. You think I'm kidding? Think about spouses. Think about relationships, emotions. Oh, Lord, I want to marry so-and-so. He's so good-looking or she's so good-looking. Your emotions are pushing and swaying. You ask the Holy Spirit, what do you say? You want me to marry so-and-so? Ex-nay, get out, red light, you're going down. And you're like, am I really? But he's so cute. Now, I'm saying that in jest, but really, we pray for people at the altar, and this is a regular occurrence, okay? I'm sure it was the Lord. I feel so good. You know, a demon can make you feel good before he drags you under the bus. Think about drug addiction. Think about the first time you take that hit. That didn't feel bad, did it? You might have choked, but you got used to it. And then you're like, oh, that's good. But it's really not. You're training your mind to dumb down to the devil's deception where you accept it as truth. We all know about drug addiction. We all know about any addiction. It always brings destruction. It never glorifies the kingdom of God until they come out from among them and get set free. And then there's a testimony. But what about the process that you're going through when you're going through addiction? What about that? I want deliverance, but help me, I can't. Here I am, I'm tempted. Anybody go through that? I'm not talking drugs, I'm talking life. How about that candy bar? How about Facebook? I know some people are struggling with Facebook, addicted to Facebook. Addiction's addiction. Let me tell you something. There's a spirit behind it. And the spirits are so dumb. But they're luring and they're guiding and they're puppeting the body of Christ. Enough. I had a spirit come to me today. I didn't think I'd share this, but the Lord wants me to. I'm spending time in the morning just loving on Jesus. You know, did I feel like it? No. But I know it's the thing to do. I know it opens. You know, my flesh didn't feel like it. My flesh wanted to sleep an extra 10 minutes. And then my flesh wanted to drink coffee and then just hang out and not think about nothing. But I thought, no, I'm staying in bed. I'm going to worship the King. So I'm worshiping Jesus. Do I feel goosebumps? Nope. Do I see the heavens part? Nope. Do I feel like some great impact just happened? Nope. But I do it because I love them. When you love your spouse or your kids, do you, you know, if they don't jump all over you, do you stop loving on them? No. You love them because you love them. Now, love can be taught. So I'm worshiping just, you know, Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're doing in this time. Thank you for letting us be a part of your kingdom. And I'm doing that, and I do my little worship, and it wasn't long. I didn't time it. And then I'm done, and I'm just kind of hanging there in his presence. See, because what happens is when you worship him, it ushers his presence. And then you bathe in him. And that's when things happen. You know, it's in the quiet times that things happen. But let me tell you, there are still darts of the enemy that try to come at you. The enemy's stupid, though. And so I'm laying there, and I'm just really enjoying myself. And I hear this thought. I gotta laugh when I... You're all alone. And I was like, the blood of Jesus. Because I knew it wasn't God, it was the enemy. I'm like, get out of here. And I started laughing. I'm like, you missed the house. You got the wrong invoice for that one. You know. And I started thinking, that must have been a really dumb demon. You know, because truthfully, anybody who knows me knows I love being alone. I mean, in natural and in spirit. I mean, that I love. I'm not a people person. So I'm like, I'm laughing at them, thinking that was the most stupidest. And I started thinking, I wonder if he was a new devil that they tricked. You know how you haze somebody. You know, you set them up for failure. You know, when they start, they get initiated. Let's send them to that house. You know, and that thing got whipped in like less than 10 seconds, you know, and out the door it went. You know, and I'm like, but how did I do it? Through my words. Did I recognize it was the enemy? The first thing I said was the blood of Jesus. I knew it wasn't God. I mean, I was in him, so I knew it wasn't him. But I was like, this, you know, and I started thinking, how often does that happen? And people go, oh, you're right, I'm so alone. And I started thinking, and I think God used it as a trick, you know, because God uses all bad for good. If you think about it, there's always good in any situation. It's just where you're looking. Where you look is where you're going to go. Now, I could have said, oh, I'm all alone. Forget that I have kids, and forget that I have friends, and forget I have a great family, but I'm all alone, you know. And if I would have opened the door to that, you know what would have came next? His friend, depression. And I think God used that as a joke, you know, to share tonight with some stupid stuff that the enemy does that we bite into. I can't tell you how many times fiery darts come. And we either invite them in or we say, get out in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. I break those words. You have no authority in my house, my life. Go. And they can't go, well, wait a minute. The memo here says you're all alone. You know? There's no room to fight because life defeats darkness. Always. Now, it may take longer than one time. And the reason why it may take longer than one time is because of our unbelief. Now, I'm using this example because this is like probably my strong area of deliverance. I'm never alone. I've always got the Holy Spirit. I love that. I'm never alone. So if somebody said to me, I'm so lonely, I feel bad because I think you don't know Jesus. You don't know the Holy Spirit. You don't know your promises. Let me introduce you to my best friend. And it's an opportunity to bring them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the light in truth. So, I just heard somebody say, you don't know my circumstances. Jesus does. And nothing's too big for him. Ask him for help. We'll get back to that. So, here's the thing. The devil used the stupid thing, you're all alone. And I'm like, get out of here. And then if I was insecure or didn't know, if I wasn't strong enough in the word of God, meaning I'm never alone because he gave me the Holy Spirit, there's scriptures to back that, I know that. I've won that battle. But what about the battles we're not winning? Let's talk about them. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of you has a call on your life. Some of you have a destiny, and you know what it is. And some of you are like, I think that's my destiny, but I'm not so sure. You know, this was prophesied, or God told me this, or, you know, I really like, you know, helping the homeless, or praying with the addicts, or, you know, bringing people into the Lord, or making dinners, or whatever the gifting is. You know, there's many giftings. I'm just going to tell you something. Where you're at right now is not where you're going to stay. You could stay there, but God is asking us to develop the giftings in us. And how do we do that? We get to practice with the situations in our life right now. Now, Not every one of us is in a bad situation. Some of us have learned the way to victory, which is Jesus Christ. And, you know, one of the things I like to do, I laugh. When bad things happen, I laugh. I don't nervous laugh, I laugh. Because I think it's funny that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, or destroy. Because I know the Word of God says, when the enemy comes and he's caught, he has to repay sevenfold. Now, the enemy doesn't pay, God does. Because I'm God's kid. So I don't go to the enemy and say, you owe me. No, because the enemy's a liar. Oh, yeah, I'll get it. Checks in the mail. You know, he's incapable of talking truth. So when I recognize that there's a trial, and see, here's the thing. You know, I can't tell you how many times our basement flooded. So obviously, we got lots of practice, I did, at laughing at the schemes of the enemy and learning to walk in victory and learning to trust him in all situations and circumstances that he really is going to make all things new. He does. It's not our job to figure out how he does it. Our job is to activate faith. Faith. Only believe. And then the darts come. And this is what I'm talking about. Oh, no. Will there be mold? Oh, no. I don't want to go up and down those stairs a million times. Oh, no. You know, everything's ruined. Whatever it is. I can stay there and dwell in that, or I can say, you know what, I need exercise, and I'm glad I'm going up and down the stairs. See, the way you look at things determines how long the season is. Now, some of us are in seasons that are pretty long, and I'm using pretty simple stuff, okay? I could go into the seasons of some of your lives, because I'm walking through it with you and praying you through and believing for your destiny. I'm seeing you crossed over into the promised land. And that's the thing. Where are you at in this process? Are you looking at the promises of God and the destiny that he was spoke, the word of God? Or are you looking at where you're right now, the leaky pipes, you know, nobody loves me, it's always going to be this way. Where you look determines the outcome of your blessing. I look to the author and finisher of all things, the creator. He's the one, and I don't need to know how. Some of us have to dumb down our theology. It's called relationship. It's called, what are you saying, Papa? What help? And then he helps us. He helps us in a time of need. We have to learn to let go of our fleshly responses to the earthly situations and lean in, listen, what are you saying, and do. Did you get that? We're in a time where we're practicing this. There's people in this room, well, let's see, every one of us, who have situations in our lives that we could practice. What are you saying about this? Some of us are wishing and believing for things to be different. Well, what are you wishing and believing they'll be different for? Is it a promise of the Word of God? If it is, go after it. If it's a emotional, feel-good, kill it. Whoa! And I say that because it's causing you to stay in delay. It's causing you to miss the fruit. You planted, but you're not watering. You're looking at it going, why isn't it living? Why isn't it living? Why isn't it growing? Why isn't it growing? You have to give the nutrients. You have to put movement and action. The enemy's trying to keep us from our destinies. He's trying to keep us from our purpose. He's trying to keep us so busy with the cares and concerns. Oh, my house is dirty. I got to clean. Oh, I haven't done that bookshelf in years. I think right now is the time to clean that bookshelf. Was that a dart from the enemy? I'm challenging you to say, Holy Spirit, what do you say? He'll laugh. He'll say, ha, ha, you haven't cleaned that bookcase in years. Come with me. Let's hang out. Or he'll say, you know, I think it's time to exercise order. Let's do this together. Do this together. Not you do it and then come back to me. Do it with him. See, he wants us. He's trying to, you know, we're co-laborers with Christ, but we use the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's here. Who knows all things? And you know what? You ask him, how do I organize that? And he'll say, well, pull everything out. Or he'll say, whatever, I don't know, you know, because I haven't asked him. But I don't really have a bookshelf that needs cleaning either that I don't think of anyway, but I might. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, ask him the way. Some of you might have a spice cabinet, and you open up the door, and all this stuff falls out, and you just throw it back in, and you're like, I don't want to deal with that. Take the time and say, Holy Spirit, what's the deal? Why does that spice rack, why does that spice keep falling on my head when I open it up? And he'll say, oh, I'm glad you asked. You need to purge. Get rid of that stuff. It's holding you back. And then when you start to do it in the natural, you start to do the act like, okay, I'm pulling out the thyme, I'm pulling out the cardamom. He'll start giving you revelation of what's going on in your life spiritually. Now, I remember years ago, so far long ago, I laugh at it. I really struggled with Christmas. I had terrible hurts and wounds at Christmas time for years. So I made the decision, the inner vow, I ain't doing Christmas. And, you know, my life imploded at that time. And I knew it was coming, and so I was just like, I'm not doing it. You know, I saw the writing on the wall. And, you know, one of my friends said, oh, I'll deck up, I'll set your tree up. You got to have a tree. You got kids. I'm like, I ain't doing it. You know, so, you know, and it imploded that year. And so as a result, I was deeply, deeply wounded, and I needed healing. I needed emotional healing. And when Christmas would come, I'd be like, I ain't doing Christmas, you know. And then one day, somebody said to me, don't you think it's time to deal with that? Now, I'm saying to you, don't you think it's time to deal with that? And here's the thing. I went back with Jesus and got healed emotionally to all the wounding that took place over the years at Christmas time. And I got so set free. Christmas is every day now. You know. But one of the things, I went out and bought a tree. And he told me to buy this tree. I bought it at Goodwill. I paid $10 for it. It was a pre-lit tree. And of course all the lights didn't work. How many donate their dead light Christmas trees to Goodwill? I'm going to tell you something. Throw them away. It's only worth $10. Here's the thing. He told me to buy that tree. I didn't want to buy the tree. He said, get that tree. I'm like, okay. Obedience always brings a blessing. Obedience always brings growth. Obedience grows trust. So I buy this tree. It's kind of like the ugly kid. You know, you give birth and you think it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And everybody's like, oh yeah, beautiful, you know, in the sight of God maybe, but, you know, bless them. I'm making that up, but anyway. But this tree was like that. It was ugly and leaned, but I just thought it was the coolest thing because God picked it out. See, when God picks something out, He looks past the junk. Now, I could look in the natural at that ugly tree and go, man, that thing's ugly. And it was. But I chose to see it by the Spirit through joy and hope and love. Plugged it in, and half of it was dead. And you know what He said to me? That's the condition of the body of Christ. And He starts teaching me about the light bulbs on the tree. I would have never learned that if I didn't listen when He said, buy that $10 tree. I think I preached on it for weeks, many years ago, about dead bulbs taking up space. And when one light goes out, sometimes the whole row goes out. There's a message there. I'm talking about obedience. The day came. Had to add extra lights to it because we couldn't. I mean, we'd fix it one year and it'd go out the next. I had the tree for many years, and it was a joke. Because every year I'd sit with the Lord, and He'd teach me more revelation about the body of Christ and the light bulbs in the tree. I would have never learned that if I didn't repent for the inner vow I made when I was so hurt and broken. Now, I'm not commercializing Christmas. That's not what this message is about, so don't go that way. And if you don't practice Christmas, don't go that way. I'm just sharing a message that he shared with me that I got through obedience. If you need to clean out the spice drawer, ask him to help. If you need to clean out your car, ask him to help. If you need to clean out your trunk because you got too much junk in your trunk, clean it out with him and ask him, because he wants to purge the dead limbs in your life. When he cuts, new growth comes. Some of you are so busy dressing up the deadness and the barrenness and justifying and waiting and wishing, and God's like, please cut it off. Seasons have changed. What worked last year isn't going to work this year. You're going to see things and if you're not anchored through the small practice and discipline of what he's saying right now, we're going to need to know that. What he's saying right now, practice learning what he's saying right now and listen. And if you can't hear his voice, ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him what the block is. He'll tell you. He'll make a way. If you can't hear, he's still speaking. And he'll figure out your way, your language, a billboard, a teaching, a person. It could be anything. He wants you to hear his still small voice. He died for that. So as we... I'm like on fire right now. As we press in this year, if we don't hone in these basic skills, and let me tell you something, these are basic, okay? This milk I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking meat, I'm talking milk. This is for every one of us. If we're not practicing the presence, we're wasting it. It's like the oil and the virgins. We have to keep our oil full. We have to. You can borrow from your friend for so long, but there will be a day when your friend is not going to be there because they heard in the spirit, move to the right. Go this way. This year is a year of pruning and preparation. This year is a year of exposure. Now you might think, oh, exposure. God's exposing things. Exposure in your own heart. We're talking small right now because what's coming is big. God wants us ready and prepared so that when big stuff happens, we're not moved. Steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I preached on this a while back. Remember when the Holy Ghost dropped it in me? Back before September. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew it was from him. See, when the Holy Ghost prepares you, you're prepared. I didn't know I would have to call on that scripture and be unmovable when I saw things that grieved the Holy Spirit. God is preparing his bride, and he wants us ready. We can't justify anymore why things aren't working or why we're not showing up. We have to call on him. We can't do it in our flesh. You can hear this message today and go, that sounds good, I want that. Good luck with that. That's kind of like watching somebody on an exercise program on TV. That looks good, I want that. That's not how the kingdom of God operates. The kingdom of God operates in relationship. It's all about relationship. From relationship, everything else flows. We've got it backwards. We've been operating out of it backwards. Oh, I want to walk in the gifts. You can't walk in the gifts without fellowship in him. We have to have relationship and be anchored. How do you do that? Think about when the baby is born. Do they know everything? No. We have to recognize where we're at developmentally, spiritually, And then ask the Holy Spirit to teach us and grow us up and help us. And He will. And He will use ministers. He will use prophets. He will use Bible studies. He will use His Word. He will use people. But He wants to be first. And we have to be careful that we don't run to people first and put people on pedestals. Some people will only listen to the Word when it's preached on a Wednesday night. I used to be like that. It was Sunday for me. I never opened the Bible. I didn't know I was supposed to. I'd get my little milk on Sunday morning, and I would hope it would last me a week. It wouldn't. And then I learned about the walk of the Spirit. And I'd feel the presence of God so strong in the meetings. And I would get cleaned up from my terrible life. You know, I was living in sin and trying to justify, still drugging and, you know, divided. But here's the thing. You keep coming into the presence of the King, you will get delivered. But if you come so far and no further, you're not going to get delivered. Are you listening to the justification of your flesh and the reasoning of your mind? Those are earthly systems. God's Word is a kingdom-bound system that never fails. It always brings victory. It always brings deliverance. And it brings correction. And it brings direction. And it brings encouragement. And it's overflowing with His love. This far and no further. Some of us need to cross over. I can feel God calling the hearts of the lost right now. I can feel Him wooing. Come into me. Come. 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 And there's calluses of justification. There's calluses of bondage so deep on us. Not all of us, but some of us, that we can't hear the voice. We used to hear, but we can't. See, when you justify sin, it causes calluses. God is holy. He's righteous, and He's given that to us. He purchased it through the Son, His Son Jesus, and He's calling us to walk in holiness and righteousness. But not this fake stuff. See, we're measuring against each other. Now, this message isn't just for this room. This message is going out, so bear with me, loved ones. This message is for the ones who have been struggling, who are crying out, there's got to be more, I don't know what to do. I sin, I stumble, I'm trying to walk in love, but I don't know how. You can't do it in your flesh. There's only one way, and that's by the living power of the Holy Spirit, who will guide you and lead you in all truth. Now, I don't know if you feel the urgency of the Father, but we're in a season where He's prepping us. Don't miss the prep. The situation you're in right now is not a situation. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to use the kingdom principles to speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea. It's an opportunity to grow your faith, to trust the Lord with all your strength, and lean not on your own understanding. There's so much leaning on our own understanding. Some of us don't even realize we're doing it. We have to have faith as a child. I heard somebody just say, well, God gave me a brain. Yes, He did. But God gave you that brain. You didn't give God your brain, so stop acting like you're God. You don't know more than He does. Some of you are justifying. I feel the heart of the Father today for the lost, the battered. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been beaten. Some of us have seen things that are horrible. But the Father's saying, my arms are open. I'm the healer. I'm the deliverer. Come to me. Come to me. Now, this is a situation. Just stay in, guys. This is a situation. Don't let the distractions. This is training. Catch it right now in the Spirit. Check in. Lord, what are You saying right now? Tune out the realm of earth right now. What are You saying? What are You saying? What are You saying? Oftentimes he says, be still. Be still. Be still. We have to learn to overcome the schemes of the enemy and the works of the flesh and not move when the distractions come. Whether it's Facebook, it's a person, whether it's the neighbor, whether it's the boss, whether it's... You know what? Oh, this grieves me to even say this. I'm hearing the Father say, yes, you were abused. You were. I was there with you. I saw. But stop living in that place. Come out and come in to the blessings of God. Don't punish yourself anymore. Come out of that. Stop justifying your sin life. Stop acting that way. Stop. Stop the thought processes. And you're like, well, how do I do that? Jesus, help. Holy Spirit, help me. I don't want to think this way. And I hear him saying, well, open the book. Open the book. Open the book. Live on the Word. Feed on the Word. Grow strong in the Word. The bondage that the body of Christ is walking in is terrible. God does not create the bondage. Sin does. We've been sinned against. We've caused sin. We need to stop justifying the way we are acting. It's time to grow in truth. The season we are in is either going to scare you. I'm not kidding. There are scriptures that talk about it. It's either going to cause fear and you're going to go spiraling down in defeat, or you're going to say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? And he's going to say, declare to that mountain. He's going to say, stop. He's going to say, life, grow, whatever. He'll give you the words. Practice now in the season you're in. This is like a sandbox, friends, for the real thing, which is here at the door. It's here at the door. It's here at the door. It's only by God's grace and mercy it's not in. Now, I know the struggle of sin, the levels of sin. And I keep hearing this. Your sin will find you out. Now, God's not pointing his finger like in condemnation or you bad person. The enemy, when you open the door to sin, the enemy has legal right. God has given us the Spirit of truth. We feel conviction when we lie. We feel conviction when we steal. We feel conviction when we judge. We feel conviction when we gossip. We feel conviction when we have sex outside of the marriage. We feel conviction. Now, we may feel it for a split second and justify it. Well, nobody saw. When you enter the cycle of repetitive sin, you are in a vortex. The demonic realm has a foothold. It's very hard to hear the voice of God at that point. Now, you still can, but not unless you're like, Lord, help me, deliver me, deliver me. Now, I'm talking big sins and little sins, okay, friends? I'm not judging the sin level in our lives. It's not my job. I'm working on stuff too. But I'm telling you something, we've got to get a hold of this carnal, fleshly judgment, satisfying our fleshly urges whenever we feel like it. We live in a world where if we want an ice cream cone, we can drive up and get one. But is it good for you? What's the Holy Spirit saying? I'm trying to make it simple because this is a frightening message. And I don't want to scare you. I want to bless you. But God is like causing us to come together in truth, in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and to take account, to be accountable to Him. Not to your wife, not to your husband, not to anybody in the earth. To Him. You're accountable to Him. And because you can't see Him, some of us are justifying. Well, God hasn't struck me dead. I'm going to keep on watching what I've been watching. I'm going to keep on drinking. I'm going to keep on smoking. I'm going to keep on judging. Listen, there's a day coming where we're going to stand before our Maker. And that's for eternity, that time. This is earth, a mist. We don't talk about it that much because, we don't want to scare the sheep. Listen, sheep. God is calling. God's pruning. But He won't do it without your help. He can't. And we're going to see stuff dismantle the next few years. Dismantle. And we're going to blame God. Why does this happen? Why is this happening? Sin always finds. Sin always finds a place to go because it's demonic operated. Sin is always looking. Close the door, close the door. How do you do it? Turn away from sin. Temptation is the first. It's a dart. Whoo, I want to go look at that. Whoo, I want to go eat that. Ooh, I want to pop that in my arm. Ooh, whatever. It's a dart. Just like that dart that came to me this morning. You're all alone. Lie. Same lie. Same dart. Just different demon. We have to recognize the schemes of the enemy, stop blaming our spouses, our friends, and our family, and let's hold the Word of God in our hands and say, you know what? This thing is unbreakable. My marriage may be failing. My kids may be doing whatever. I may not have a job. I may need this. I may need that. But God's Word is true. And I'm going to focus on God's Word, and I'm going to speak God's Word, and I'm going to declare it, and I'm going to see God manifest in my life. Amen. That's the walk of the Spirit. That's exercising the Word of God. That's winning the victory. We got to show up. We got to stop justifying and stop playing church. It's not about... not about the functions after the message. It's not about the gathering of the food. He is the food. Dine on Him. He is the nutrients. I have food they not know of. That's real, friends. That's real. You've got to find Him. Those who look, find Him. Those who knock on the door, it opens. Those who seek me with all their heart, He'll show Himself true. You can't get deceived by the enemy when you are actually pursuing Him, unless your flesh caves and you go into the desire of the flesh, the pleasure of the flesh. That's where deception is. The enemy knows what you like, what you secretly think about. He watches your behavior. Just because you can't see the enemy doesn't mean he can't see you. You know, we have angels assigned to us. We have demons assigned to us. Ooh, where's that in the Bible? The Lord told me to drink some water. I should have. Actually, I have been. So, is this too much for you guys tonight? I feel like He's trying to get us to recognize the place where we're at. The season that we're in is the land of opportunity. The land where the blessings of God are there. But we've so got used to looking at things through the flesh, the circumstances. You know, I'm seeing someone's shoe closet right now. I'm seeing shoes. I'm seeing you trying on these shoes, and some of them are old, and they fit, and some of them are tight, but you wear them because you bought them 30 years ago, and you've always worn them. They're not comfortable anymore. They're wore out, but yet we still continue to wear them because we have memories attached to them. We remember the day we bought them. We remember when so-and-so said they look so good on us. We remember when we went out with that group of people. You know, clothing. I'm not even going to ask.
I have lots of favorite things.
Amen. Amen. And God's challenging us. You know, I can't tell you how many times. Well, I can. Three. Okay. Three times I've given away everything. Okay. Did I want to? No. God was teaching me total reliance for all things. You know, you guys know, most of you know my story. Some of you don't. But I left everything. Left everything. I had a lot of stuff. A lot of toys. Left it all. And God totally maneuvered my life and told me what to do each day. He was training me. Those were opportunities to practice the voice of God and listen in obedience and trust Him and lean not on my own understanding. I'm not saying give away all your stuff. That's what it took for me to get the revelation I have. You might be smarter. You might be more of a child and have better trust. I had no trust in God. I couldn't trust Him. Now, I don't know if that's why I had to give everything away. I don't think so, because I know the reasons. But the second time, you know, He gives me all this stuff to back, but more and better and great. And then He says, get rid of it all again. So I do. I did it one more time. Oh, when the basement flooded. You know, all my stuff, the last of it, gone again. You know, I'm not attached to anything. If God said to me, I'm not even attached to my kids. Now, that may sound harsh. I love my kids with all my heart. I care for my kids. I pray for my kids. But if God said, get up and move to Africa right now, I'd make sure it was Him. But if He told me to go, I'd go. I will not have anything, not one thing, not one thing come before Jesus Christ as my Lord. Now, can you say that? And I don't mean that like I'm better than you. I'm challenging you. I'm putting the fire. I'm putting the fire of God on you right now and challenging you. What's holding you back from growing in God? Is it worry? Is it complacency? Is it bondage? I don't know. But He does. Now, He's not going to make you get rid of all your stuff unless He does. And if He does, then oh, willfully do it. You know, when I got to bless people with my stuff, it's funny. I see it in their houses today, and I laugh. I think, oh, I remember that, you know. And I'm not attached to any of it anymore. You know, everything had a meaning and a memory, you know. Not anymore. It's gone. It's in somebody else's house. It's rubbish. It's going to burn up when He comes back. It's nothing. Some of you are like, I can't do that. I've got pictures of my kids. God's got your picture in His wallet. It's better than anything. If you think about it, who's your daddy? I can feel the resistance in here. I'm pushing. Now, I'm not pushing because I want you to be mad at me, which I don't care, but I'm pushing against the sliver. Remember the hangnail? I'm pushing to cause resistance so that you have an opportunity to hear the Word of God in an area of your life where you're held back and you don't know it. How many times do we have idols and we don't know it? I remember when He started talking to me about idols. I was clueless. Anything that exalts itself above God is an idol. Kids, spouses. Now, I'm not saying don't get married and don't have kids, but I'm saying if God calls you, you go. If your husband calls you, you go. But if God calls you, you go. Because if you put God first, everything else gets put in place. But if you build your foundation in the earth system without the Spirit of God, revelation, and wisdom, you're going to have a faulty building. And when the winds blow, and they're here, and the storms come, and they're here, your house is going to shake back and forth. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of your houses are shaking back and forth. And you're blaming God, and you're blaming the devil, but God is saying, it's you! Okay, if He's saying it's you, okay, it's me. If that's your attitude, it's me. Okay, so it's me. You know, you ever have that? I'm being honest, guys. We have to get real. Oh, we can't get real? Because we have to keep polished? You want to get free? You want to walk in victory? Get real. If God challenges you, some of you aren't even aware you're being challenged. Here's how you know. If there's an issue. If you get pushed and you react, wah, like a hangnail just got ripped out, or like a sliver just got pushed on, there's a problem. But it's a problem which is really a setup by God to help you get free so you can get out of this season and come into the blessings of God in the fullness. I love problems. I love when I react bad. I don't love it at that moment. I think, gosh, what is my problem? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Well, I wasn't really asking. I wanted to justify it a little longer. But see, if you practice the obedience of when God says move to the right, you move to the right, you hear him quicker. You don't have to wait a week, say, what's the problem? And then you don't hear nothing. And then a week goes by and he says, the problem is you. You can hear it instantly. And that's what God wants for all of us. That's how you walk in victory. It doesn't happen overnight. But in these seasons, when you say, you know, I'll tell on myself. For those of you who think I got it, I don't. I was in Home Depot 2 weeks ago. I had to buy a mini blind. Went to the Home Depot. And it was the different Home Depot. It wasn't the one I normally go to. It wasn't laid out the same way. And I'm not even a person who has routines, so I'm not sure what that was about, but I'll tell you what happened. I go in there, and I need to buy mini blinds, and they're always in the middle of the store at Home Depot, and they're not. They're in the way back. And I go back there, and they don't have the full stock because it's a scaled-down version of the Home Depot. And I'm like, what is my problem? What's really going on? So when stuff like that happens, and you're like, nah, nah, you know, you're not going to catch it right away because you're in the moment of, nah, 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 nah. But when you calm down and maybe you're back in the car and you go, what was that? Why did I react that way? Those are the opportunities that you open up to the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm glad you asked. Do you remember on November 7th in 2001 when you spoke to the Home Depot guy, I'm making this up, spoke to the Home Depot guy, and he told you blah, 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 and you know, there's always a reason why we react. I'm playing light of it because I'm trying to get us to recognize this is prime. We're like prime picking for victory, prime picking for the benefits of God. Now, some of you are in relationships. First of all, if you're not married and you're having sex, you're living in sin. And if you expect the blessings of the Lord to flow in your life, you've been deceived. When you walk in error, you're causing the enemy to encamp around you. So stop. You know, we used to not talk about it because we don't want to offend. But you know what? We want people set free. If you're struggling in one area, it could be related to another area. You could have the door open to sin in another area, which is causing confusion. Because that demon's whispering blah, blah, blah in your ear because you got the door open. Stop justifying your lifestyle. This is a popular message among the youngsters. It's something we don't talk about. But we need to address it. I didn't know. When I got saved, I didn't know you weren't supposed to sleep around. Nobody gave me that lesson in life. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. So here's the thing. When I was confronted with it, when I heard the message in a church, and it wasn't even a Spirit-filled church, I felt conviction. And I turned from my old way. See, we have to turn our back on sin. If we don't turn our back on sin, we will continually to willfully sin and justify and stay stagnant and miss the blessings of God. Oftentimes, Sin hides the true nature of the problem that we're in. And if we start to close the door on the sins that the Holy Spirit says, you know, stop doing that. Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Thank you, Jesus. We'll get back to that one. We'll work that one in slowly. Here's the thing. Pleasure is only for a moment. Some of you are in great sin against your bodies. Sexual immorality. With partners, without. Stop it. It's opening the door to the demonic realm. Stop. Yes, I'm talking about it. We have to start talking about it. We have to address the issues of the heart. Now, some of you are like, I don't want to hear anymore. You're free to leave. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you walk out this understanding. It's okay. I know this is heavy. And I certainly had no clue we were going here. I thought we were going to talk about a tree planted by the rivers. Oak of righteousness. You know, I just feel like there's such an urgency. And here's the thing. I guess we're going here. But here's the thing. God is challenging us and wooing us to see the greatness of his kingdom, which is at hand. And we're struggling with how do we walk in the spirit realm? How do we bring the kingdom of God into the earth? Well, we're the vessels. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have to clean ourselves. Now, he won't work with us if we're clean or dirty. It doesn't work that way. He'll use anybody he wants. He used donkeys. He used, you know, rank sinners. And he'll use whoever he wants. But you're his chosen one. Come to terms with that. He picked you. He loves you. He's wooing you. He holds you in his arms at night. He sings to you. He worships the makeup of you. He just is in love with you in such a way that I can't give it English words. And he's like, my bride, my spotless bride. He sees us as how he created us. And we see us as, well, I got this area, I'm sinning. Stop. Come to the Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. And then when the triggers are there, like the Home Depot, like maybe arguing with the spouse or whatever your issue is, you know, we all have issues. Let's deal with them. Let's take them off. Let's stop dressing them up. Let's stop putting makeup on them. And let's start dealing with it one at a time. And what do we do? What are you saying today, Holy Spirit? What are you working on right now, Holy Spirit, with me? And he'll give you a direction. And then your job is not to get distracted by the flesh and the carnality of all the busyness and all the million reasons why you shouldn't do it. Friends, be careful. I'm going to issue this warning. I was praying Tuesday night. I was in a prayer meeting. And I saw this vortex. It was very dark and demonic. And I saw people being sucked into it. And it's deception. It was a spirit of deception. And what I saw was I saw people walking with their cell phones going right into it. Now, I've said this before. I'm concerned about our technology. Now, I love technology, and I think it's a blessing, but I also think that used improperly, it's going to bring a curse. It is so easy to walk down deception on your phone when no one's looking. It's so easy to tap into Facebook for 5 minutes to see what your grandkids are doing, or your friends, or your ministry, and 3 hours later, 17 videos later, you're like, I just was going to check 5 minutes. Friends, if you're struggling, unsubscribe. Shut it off. This is a really stupid thing. I downloaded a little fun game on my phone called Happy Color. It's you push the buttons and it colors pictures. Mindless. Listen to scripture while I'm doing this. It was like mindless fun. I found myself addicted to that thing. Trying to get the next picture colored. What? I had to shut it off. Friends, that thing is harmless in appearance. But it robbed me of my nights with God. I like my nights with God. Just one more picture. It's not even, it's just a picture of a winter scene. You know, it's not nothing. But is it anything? It's no different than it's one more picture on the other way. It's still deception. And it was robbing me of my time in God. And I'm not going to have an idol, especially a happy color. How dumb! God is saying, your dumb idols are robbing you, and they're causing you to be blind. I don't want to go blind. Smash the idols. Burn the clothing that defiles you. Get rid of those memories that are haunting you and causing you to wish it was this way again. I can't tell you how many times there are spirits attached to articles of clothing, artwork, jewelry. Pray over your stuff. Bless your stuff. Or get rid of it. And don't sell it to somebody. If you have demonic stuff, burn it. Don't sell it on Facebook. I really thought we were just going to come and worship the king. I think I put a post out there about it. Come tonight. We're going to worship. We're worshiping. We're worshiping right now. God's piercing our hearts towards repentance, which leads to godliness. I want to be a vessel of holiness for his good pleasure. I don't care about being seen by man. I don't care about being used. I care about him. I care about his kingdom, and I care about his sheep. That's my gift. That's the destiny. Yours is different. I know you're an evangelist. You know, you're into the arts. There's people in here that God has different giftings, but the whole thing comes from the Spirit, a connection, a oneness. And the Holy Spirit is eager to teach us about intimacy. It's not a dirty word. It's a holy thing. And he's calling us to be wholly consecrated to his good pleasure, for his good pleasure. In Colorado, in last September, we had a move of God I've never seen before or experienced in my life. A spirit of holiness came upon us in such a way where it brought true conviction. And there's many saints there who are not even actively ranked sinners. We repented. We were on our face in his presence. Friends, he's coming. He's coming in his presence. We're going to look just like him. But while we're here on earth, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Word. I know many of you are revivalists. I know many of you walk in signs and wonders, dream of watching a limb grow out, dream about somebody being raised from the dead. How do you do it? Intimacy with the Father. You can read a book by John G. Lake. You can learn the mechanics. You can take a class. But it all stems from intimacy. What are you doing right now? What do I say? I'm listening as I'm speaking right now. I'm hearing the words in heaven, and I'm releasing them into this room. Did I learn how to do that instantly? No. You know how it started? I'd get a word. Practice, practice, practice. Practice, practice, practice. Practice, practice, practice. Don't lose sight of your destiny. Some of you have lost sight of your destiny. You've had hard things happen to you. God is waiting for you to come back into the center of his will, and you will walk and receive his blessings. You will walk in the fullness of God. It's not a merit system. It's not an earned system. It's just show up. Show up. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You just show up. Here I am. What are you saying today? Oh, I just want to worship you. What are we working on? Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.